So, Lord, that's our prayer this morning, that in the midst of your words, that the reality of you would increase in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Seek, find, possess, and invest. These were four words that the Lord spoke to me that I put in my post-it notes and sought the Lord about. In Matthew, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. And it goes on to say, he who seeks finds. He who asks receives. He who knocks, the door is open. And so we're thankful for that. But clear back in the beginning of things, the Lord began to tell people, when you seek me, you will find me. There weren't any disclaimers on that. Now, later on, he said, when you seek me with all your heart, but for the most part, he simply said, when you seek me, you will find me. Call upon him while he is near. When's the Lord near? The Lord is always near. That's what the Word of God says. I don't know of anyone, but I'm sure there are people, because there are people that have just come to know the Lord and just remained faithful and from a young age, so they wouldn't even remember it. But most of us can remember times when, because we had a somewhat of a knowledge of God, called out to God for favor when there was a problem, made promises to God as a result of that calling out, and then never really noticed what he did on our behalf. But God was still faithful. When you seek him, you'll find him. Well, you know, part of the walk with God is coming to know him well enough and having that kind of confidence in him that I've sought God and I found him. And God has heard me. This is, you know, and I'm always reminded of this when, with John, you know, I try to imagine where these letters came from. And so in John's, not the Gospel of John, but in the Epistles of John, where he says, okay, this is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know he hears us. Well, I look at that and I think somebody wrote or somebody threw this question up and it began to be a question going all over the place. Why does it seem to work so good for you? Why doesn't this work for us the way it works for you? That sounds like almost a pretty relevant, pretty current question, doesn't it? And John's response was, listen, here's the deal. When we pray, we know he hears us. We don't think he hears us. We don't hope he hears us. We know he hears us. Now, previously, he had mentioned, listen, we're not talking to you about things that we've just heard about. We're talking to you about things that we've handled, things that we've accepted, things that we've believed. And so he was convinced. And because he was convinced, he could say that. He wasn't being arrogant and saying, well, you know, when we pray, we know he hears us. He was saying, you want it to work, you got to know it's true. We know he hears us, and if we know he hears us, then we know we have the things we've asked of him. That was the confidence they had. And this is the confidence that the Word of God offers to us. So seeking God, we can seek God and not find him. Not because he's not there, because we don't find him. The picture that occurred to me is, how often do you look for things and then find them right in the place where you looked and never saw them? It happens to everybody. Walked right past it. Made a mental note about where something is, and then know the general area, but can't find it. But you still know that it's there. Well, this is the first thing is to know when we seek him, we will find him, but then to seek him until we do find him. Not because he's hiding, but because his appearance is clouded to us. Circumstances blot our ability to see it. Our doubts and our fears. I remember when we talked about making the effort, and we talked about when the man came to Jesus and wanted him to come and pray for his daughter, and Jesus immediately started coming with him. You know? Whoa. Man, oh man, Jesus is, he's following me. I'm taking him to see my daughter healed. This is great. This is pumped up time. But there were all those other people in need too, and Jesus just kept meeting their needs, and he's got to make an effort to say, hey, he's coming. It'll be all right. We don't see anywhere that he turned around and said, I thought you were coming to heal my daughter. He had to keep believing. The Bible tells us to keep believing. Keeping believing aids in our finding. So that then, when they came and told the man, don't bother him, your daughter's dead. And Jesus immediately said, don't fear, do not be afraid. You keep believing. Now the guy has to walk along going, I'm afraid, I believe. But he's still with me. This could be good. But do you think that he didn't fear? I thought about the Lord bounced me to Israel. And Israel is in Egypt. And Moses comes and says, here's the deal. You put the blood on the doorposts and you'll be safe. Okay. How much sense does that make? Not much. Even to them. Not much. You remember, these are the complainers. These are the doubters. These are the ones that when Moses came and said, God sent me to lead you out, said, leave us alone. Especially after Moses did miraculous signs and Pharaoh didn't knuckle under right away, you're causing us more trouble. So now Moses says, we've got the big one coming, folks. Here's what you got to do. You got to kill a lamb. You got to take the blood off the lamb. You got to put it on the doorposts. You make sure that you stay in your house and you eat the whole lamb. Well, the only part of that that was easy for him was eating the whole lamb. And do you think that when they put the blood on the doorpost, that they sat in there and just, hallelujah, this is going to work out great? Or do you think that they sat there going, what is this all about? And you've got to stay where you're supposed to be. Stay. And how many wanted to, you know, why do we have to stay in the house? Why do we have to stay here? What difference does it make? This is the goofiest thing I've ever heard of. You put blood on the door and you just have a meal. And then they started to hear the cries and the screams of people dying. Now, do you think they just said, well, bless God, we're under the blood? Or do you think that they were sitting there going, how is blood on the doorpost going to protect? Doesn't make any sense to me. Well, see, this is the thing that we run into as Christians all these thousands of years later. this doesn't make sense to me. My circumstances don't make sense to me. Things aren't, you know, I prayed and I just don't think that God's heard me. I just doubt that He even cares about me. How many people in Israel do you think peeked outside? We know that the Bible says that everyone who did everything that God had said, not anyone died in their family. But did someone not bother to put the blood on their door? I don't know. But I do know this, if they didn't have the blood on their door, they died. I also know that many in Egypt survived because they heard what Israel was doing and things, you know, they'd been spying a little. They'd been seeing that they had the frogs and Israel didn't. They had the hail, Israel didn't. So there were some people who were looking in and saying, I want what they've got. Well, that's where we want to get. Where people want what we got. There's nothing wrong with getting something from God because we want people to want what we've got. And so when you seek Him, you will find Him. So then by faith, we know that when we seek God, we will find God. So He's here. He's here. When I pray, I know He hears me. And I know that enough to know that it will benefit me to keep seeking until I find it. The woman who lost a coin kept seeking until she found it. The person who lost a sheep kept seeking until he found it. See, too many times, Christians call upon God and then don't find Him. Because they're looking at the other things and being distracted from Him. And as long as we let the other things be magnified in our life rather than the Lord be magnified in our life, we can't see the Lord because all we can see is the gloom and the misery and the despair. Well, first and foremost, we have to seek Him. Then we have to find Him. He's not hiding, but we've got to get past our distractions and past our discouragement and past our lack of really even caring. You see, there's a lot of people that may or may not be Christians. That's up to God to decide. But never really seek the Lord. They sought salvation, and maybe they got it. I don't know. But never found the Lord. That's why there are people that will say, you know, don't get too carried away with God. Anybody that's found Him will never say, don't get too carried away with Him. Will they? If somebody says to you, now don't get carried away with God, I have a hard time thinking that they found Him, because once you found Him, that's all you want to be carried away with. But then we can find Him and not possess Him. Do you understand that? You can find God and not possess Him. Yes, I found the Lord, but I don't possess Him. If we don't possess Him, then we don't possess those things. He's not become the answer to everything. Yes, I sought God. Yes, I found Him. But there's just some things that don't seem to be just the way that I would like them to be. But if we possess God, then we wait upon the Lord and He renews our strength. So we've got to seek God. The whole world needs to seek God. And in all honesty, the whole world is seeking God. The whole world is seeking God. They just don't know it. You know, you hear the testimonies of the atheist that's talking about God when everything is really terrible. And what are they doing? Mostly they're blaming God. But sometimes they're wondering if God could help. But then the enemy says, you've never believed in God. You can't believe in God. Now, that atheist needs to have the opportunity to overcome that and seek God. And maybe that atheist has seen someone who possessed God and wanted God and went by their example rather than even the things that are in their heads, and they're saying, God. How many times have you heard of people who finally got to a place where they were so desperate and so in despair, and they called out and they said, God, if you're real, help me. And the reality of God set in and nothing else mattered, and all of a sudden they've sought, found, and possessed. Boom, just like that. And then that makes religious people really torqued off. It does. Because why should you have that when they don't have that? And why should you have something that almost makes them jealous that they never wanted? See, the Bible says that when you seek me, you will find me. So that always gives me hope for anyone. God shows up. More and more I look at my life before I met Christ and I just see where God did show up. And I didn't seek him with all my heart and I didn't seek him sincerely. I just sought him to help me. And he must have. And I've looked at those same things and I've said, man, the devil must have seen God watching over me because he did his best to destroy me before God could have me. Now, the devil didn't make me do anything, but when I look at some of the things in my life, even from a little child, I was driving to Pier this week and I thought, what kind of a child takes an envelope opener and stabs his brother so he can watch the other channel? That's just nuts. Seemed like such an innocent thing at the time, I guess. I don't know. You know, was it watching too many cowboy and Indian movies? I don't know what it was, you know. But, you know, I think about those things and I think, God, you spared me, you protected me. When we seek him, we'll find him. Or he'll show up. But then finding him, that's that next thing. I know I'm repeating myself, but folks, we've got to understand this. If we sought him, he showed up, but have we found him? I sought the Lord and he heard me. And not even knowing what I found, I knew that I found something good. You know, it's like somebody finding a shiny rock and then finding out that it's a rough cut gem. It's just not even cut and somebody else knows what it is. How many times have you heard these things about somebody who goes to a garage sale and buys some old piece of junk, or at least the person that was selling it thought it was an old piece of junk and they had 50 cents on it and this person found it and turned it into hundreds of thousands of dollars because they knew what it was. See, God shows up and a lot of times people don't know what they found, what it is. And so they don't really find him. Even though he shows up, even though something seemed to change. I'm always amazed when I speak to some of the guys or the gals at jail and they will tell me what's been going on and I'll say, oh, praise the Lord, look what God's doing. You know, I mean, this is awesome. Because I can see this handprints. I can see the fingerprints of the Lord. And they're thinking, you know, Oh. Because, see, they were only looking for the finished piece of pottery. They weren't looking for it being smooth and for things being put into place. And we can be guilty of the same thing. And because we don't see God and magnify Him and glorify Him for each little piece, we often throw the pottery off the wheel before it's finished. Because we just want what's in the store. We just want what we've imagined. Today, with the internet and the ability to order things off the internet, and you see things and the picture looks great, and when it shows up, it's cheap and no good, and Well, sometimes that's sort of the attitude that we take toward God, because what shows up at first may not be totally what we ordered, but it's the beginning of what we ordered. But when we begin to know and to believe, when I seek Him, I find Him. Okay, You're here, God. You are in this. And we begin to look for the signs that God is in it. And as we look for the signs that God is in it, now we become more and more enamored with God, and we possess Him. We possess Him in our hearts. We possess Him in our souls. We won't be discouraged. We won't be distracted. We won't be deterred. We'll be like the man walking, and Jesus said, "Fear not, only believe." And we'll be headed home going, "He said, fear not, I ain't going to fear. I said, I ain't going to fear. I ain't going to fear. I ain't going to fear. I am not going to fear. I don't know what He's going to do, but God's going to do something. Jesus said, don't fear." You know, I think that by the time he got home, he was ready. He was ready enough that Jesus let him come into the room. You know, Jesus sort of removed the people that didn't have faith. And the husband apparently was convinced enough that the wife said, "Why not? I don't know." You know, I mean, you got to figure that it wasn't like they just marched in and he never said anything to his wife. He maybe said to his wife, "Listen, he said, don't fear, only believe. That's what we're going to do. We are going to believe." So the wife says, "All right, fine. What do we got to lose? She's dead." Jesus took him in, walked in, said, "Little girl, get up." Ooh. Now they've sought, they've found, and man, they're going to possess that little girl. And nobody can take that away from them now. Anytime somebody would badmouth Jesus, these people would have to say, "You're talking up the wrong tree here, man. You see that little girl? She was dead and she's alive. You can't take that away from me." See, those are the things. We've got to possess those things that we know that God has done. And because we possess those, then we can see the things that He's doing. And we can take comfort in that and have confidence in that. Because as Scripture says, listen, He comforts us with a comfort that enables us to comfort others with the comfort that we've been comforted with. We possess something. So we've sought and we found and we possessed, and now that we possess something, we can invest it. We can invest ourselves in God without any reservations whatsoever. You know, it's always amazing that you have people that really, really, from all appearances and all speech, they would seem like they possessed and ready to invest, and then they say things like, "Well, we'll see. You know, hopefully God will do something." Can't you just that would be like the guy Jesus is saying to him, "Fear not, only believe," and he turns around and says, "Forget it. You know, I came, I had some hope, but just stay here and take care of the other people. I'll go home and comfort my wife." Because when we preempt or apply the idea that, you know, maybe God will, maybe God won't, we may as well just say God ain't gonna. Because He's waiting for us to make up our minds. But when we've sought Him and we've found Him and we've possessed Him, now we not only are invested in Him and our confidence in Him, but now we can invest Him into other people's lives. The other day we were somewhere there was a gal there that was telling me about her legs hurt and she'd forgotten her brace and all of that kind of stuff. And I just reached across the counter and I said, "Give me your hand." She gave me her hand. I said, "Be healed in Jesus' name." And the next day, sorry, I said, "So how is it?" "Oh, it's better because I remembered my brace and because it's a better day." And I said, no. Jesus healed you. If you receive that, it'll just keep going. If you negate that, well, I've sought God and I've found God and I possess God and I'm invested in God and I'm willing to tell people, I'm willing to invest God into their lives, and I can't do anything about what they do with it. But this is the responsibility that we have, to seek God. In everything, seek God. This is our responsibility. And when we seek Him, we need then to find Him. In other words, we need to have confidence that God is who God says that He is. And if we've sought Him, we know that He's heard us. And we find His hand in there. And if we have to declare things that are not as though they are, then bless God, that's what we'll do. That's what we'll do. We'll declare things that are not as though they are. Because we have sought God and we have found God, and we're just pretty sure that God's right in the middle of that. We don't have to see it. Blessed are you. It's been given to you to understand. To Thomas, "Well, you believe because you've seen." He said, "Man, more blessed are those that believe when they haven't seen." How do you believe when you haven't seen? You believe when you haven't seen, when you've sought God and you've found God and you possess God to the place where you say, "I prayed, I know He heard me, that's where I make my stand." That's just how it's going to be. That's the way this is going down. I don't care what you say, that's how it's going down, because I possess in myself this confidence that I've prayed and I've heard Him and He's heard me, and I own it. My Jesus. And when we got my Jesus, and we plant Jesus who we know and who we possess and who we refuse to doubt, who we refuse to fear, who we refuse to declare, even what we see, if it exalts itself against what we know. This is a responsibility we have. This, I believe, is what Jesus was saying. Okay, now go into all the world and tell them the good news. You've seen me, you've received me, you possess me, now go share me. There's nothing that's impossible for God, and so that when we possess Him, we can invest that very thing. And people say, "There's nothing that's impossible for God." That's why there were people who would haul their friend and dig a hole in somebody else's roof to drop him down through. Partially, they were sick and tired of carrying him around, but mostly because he don't fail. We don't need to get caught up in where people are in their faith. It's where we are in our faith. Blind Bartimaeus, it doesn't say he was a great believer. It says that somebody said Jesus was coming, and he started saying, "I've heard rumors about Him. Help me! Have mercy on me! Help me! Have mercy on me!" And the people said, "Shh, shh, 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 don't make a fuss." I'm telling you what, there's times when it's necessary to make a fuss. And Jesus said, "Man, bring him up here." And then Jesus made sure what he wanted. He said, "I want to see." And Jesus said, "Go. Your faith made you whole." He didn't know Jesus. He only knew about Jesus. He didn't have a relationship with Jesus, but he knew what he wanted. And when you seek him, you'll find him. Well, that's why some people get disturbed when people who seem to hardly know God, they pray and get their prayer answered. And here they've been praying and praying and praying, and nothing good's happened for them. Well, that person was desperate and called upon the Lord, and the Lord answered him, and now that person has the opportunity to find him. This must be God. Now that we found him, what are we going to do with him? Remember him or forget him? Remembering that Billy Graham, that testimony of that rapper, he said, you know, pretty soon I was back doing all the bad stuff, sleeping around with women. The conviction in my heart was killing me, so I said to God, you got to do something. You see, he wanted what he possessed once. And he was wise enough to not let the enemy keep it. Listen, folks. We are all bearing in these earthen vessels great treasures. And we have all failed and come short of the glory of God. But what we need to do is we need to look and we need to take every circumstance and we need to say, I've sought the Lord. Am I finding the Lord? Am I possessing the Lord? And have I possessed him to a degree where I'll invest him? I read recently about somebody that was just in a state of depression that was about to eat them alive, and somebody said to them, go and pray for somebody else that's depressed. Invest the kingdom of God in them. And in that investing was set free. We've got to be in this and possess this constantly, continuously. Search me, O Lord, and know my ways. Try me and know my thoughts. Man, help me to have ears to hear what I'm saying. Help me to have discernment to shut my mouth before I say it. Help me, Lord. I know you can. When you seek him, you'll find him. He's there. He appears. He hears. We can know that without any doubt. We can declare that. Whether we've heard him, whether we've seen him, no matter what, he is faithful even when we're not. So I know that he is there, and that's where I'm going to look. I'm looking for God in this circumstance. I'm going to find him because he showed up. And with that, then we possess him. We possess him for that. We possess him for more. We possess him so completely. And we are so sure of him that we invest ourselves in him and invest him in other people. Seek, find, possess, and invest. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. What better place can we invest our faith than just in the normal conversation, because everybody's conversing? God's faithful. God's able. This is what I know. Because I have sought and I have found and I have possessed and I'm investing the kingdom of God and in the kingdom of God. Father, in Jesus' name, we believe you. And yet we're honest enough to be as the man who brought his son to be prayed for. And Jesus said, if you can believe, anything's possible. And the man said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Because we are being perfected, and the fact that we're being perfected proves that we're only made perfect in Christ, and if we're not in Christ, then we're not perfect, and so in any given circumstance, we can be more perfect. You said in your word, you will be holy. You must be holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to seek you to find that, and we're going to be desperate for you in order to possess it, but because we can possess it, we can invest that in other people's lives. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can be confident that when we seek you, you are not slow. You are instant. And so by faith, we will find what is that perfect and acceptable will of God. And possess within ourselves that presence behind the veil. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord. In that power and in that love of God being shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, we will make deposits in the kingdom and in the lives of others and draw others into the kingdom of God. Not the idea of God, but the very kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, we declare this. We ask you to empower us to make it real. In Jesus' name, amen.